ALDS game one tomorrow afternoon. Guardians taking on the Tigers. Tone, classic question. Is it a must win?
Oh, absolutely.
216-474-0092. Is the game, usually game one of a series is not a must win.
Yeah, this one in a condensed series, it's not a best of seven, it's a best of five.
Yes.
And you're looking at, if you lose this one, what are the odds, Kenny, that if you are to win the series, it goes five? If you lose game one, what are the odds? Like, what? Just wouldn't you say that if they lose game one, the series, if it ends up going the way we want it to, is probably going to go five?
I mean, yeah, I would imagine, right? No?
No, I would say, yeah. I mean,
yeah. And so what that means is you would go up against the best pitcher in baseball twice over the next 4 days. That's why you want to win this one. You got to win this
one. Best pitcher in baseball. Well, okay. Well, fine.
This year.
The best starter in baseball, yeah. He might not be the best closer, I think.
It's still listed as undecided right now. Have they made their decision absolutely permanent, the Detroit Tigers?
They still have not.
Okay.
I did a search before the show.
A cursory search.
To see what was being talked about. And obviously, the day's rest is coming into play here, even though he only pitched 88 pitches in the last time he pitched, which he was dominant against the Houston Astros.
Yes.
They think that would be a departure from their typical plan of attack in game one.
So
on a four-day rest period.
Well, you could. If things got to go well for you. Like, you have to get the Tanner Bibee. Could I take that as a disrespect to Tanner Bibee? You don't want to put your number one up against Tanner Bibee? Or you just want to offset the entire staff and say, well, we'll just put Tarek Skubal in on Monday. I keep wanting to say Saturday because my rods and cones are mixed up. You put him in game two on Monday, get yourself a win, and then you kind of move on with the series.
Yeah, it'd be
at 1-1.
He pitched on, back to, I'm not ducking your question.
You duck it.
But Skubal pitched on Tuesday. So Wednesday is an off day. Thursday is an off day. Friday is an off day.
Yeah.
If he were to go on Saturday, that'd be 3 days. That would be 3 days rest. So he's not pitching game one.
Wait a minute. When did he pitch last time?
He pitched Tuesday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, you're not counting Saturday as that day.
Yeah.
See, I was counting Saturday as
that
day.
So that's why almost assuredly I thought he was going to go.
Well, not with the 1 p.m. start, but if it was the 7 o'clock.
Well, I think that could be part of it, right?
If they started this game at 1, that game was started at 2. It's almost. Well, how many hours did he pitch?
They were in Houston.
Oh, that's right. He was in the Central Time.
Well,
you gain an hour, though. So is it a full 4 days?
Oh, that's something to look at.
There we go.
So the whole point of this is to say that him on normal rest in game two was probably always going to be the way it worked out, which then means that, you know, you're going to have the pitching advantage in game one. You're certainly not going to have it in game two.
No.
You want to win this game. Yeah, I mean, you want to win it normally. But in this case, just staring at that, knowing that he has been so good, and he has a postseason dominant start under his belt already.
You want to win every game. Do you got to win this game is the question. 216-474-0092. Is it a must win? Because then if you have your starting pitcher is going to be Tanner Bibee. I assume that game two is Matt Boyd, right? Game three, you're looking at probably Gavin Williams, but with the split Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, I mean, you're kind of flirting with Gavin Williams in like an opener situation, possibly, and doing that. So you kind of got that going for you. So you would definitely see Tanner Bibee twice as long as you get the business done. So tomorrow, I think with Tanner Bibee going, it's like you got your best pitcher going. You got to win the game. You got to win the game. It's not like I'm not going to come in on Monday and say the series is over if you're down 1-0. But I'm going to have a lump in my throat. I'm not going to be feeling very good if you lose that game tomorrow. Yeah.
Is there a difference between must win and got to win?
Let's split the hairs. What do you mean?
Well, I think a must win is a declaration that if you don't win this game, we're in big trouble. I think a got to win is like, hey, it's your number one pitcher. These are games you shouldn't lose.
Well, I guess it's in a got to win. Because if I just said that the series isn't over if they lose.
But,
yeah.
I mean, come on. It's our number one pitcher. We've had the week off. We got to win this game.
Well, then you're right. Then it's got to win.
And add the dimension of just how hot Detroit is. That if they win again, I mean, that team will not. Yeah. They will come into game two assuming that. that they are going to beat you, especially with the guy that's going to be on the mound. That's why you just need to win this game. Maybe it's just because it makes me feel better, makes you feel better, makes this show, makes our fans feel better.
They only have to win two more, and they know they've got their number one guy twice, right? So
that's the hard part.
Yeah.
That is the hard part right there.
So I changed my mind back to must win.
Now it's a must win instead of gotta win.
Flipped.
So what, are you must win too?
I kind of feel like it is, yeah.
Am I the only one who's saying it's just a gotta win instead of must win? Want to win? Mitch, what do you got?
This is a must win, especially with you go down 2-0, you go back to Comerica, that crowd's going to be very tough.
I mean, Tarek Skubal's good. It's not like it's murderer's row over there with those guys. Like, you can get to him, can't you?
I think the other thing that's different is they got Hinch. That guy's going to know
how to... What does that got to do with the price of fish?
Well, here you go. I'm going to tell you what the price of fish is right now.
$2.99.
He's a veteran. He is a veteran. It's market. He's a veteran manager who's been in the fire before and has won a World Series, and I know he did it illegally. And
what else is he prepared to do?
Yeah. I mean, he will...
That's a good point.
He will gut you on the mound if he has to win the World Series.
Talking about fish, we're talking about gutting.
So the difference is AJ Hinch in this spot?
No, I don't think that's the difference. I do think that the way that he's managed this bullpen over the last month and a half especially puts it to where it's like, man, I don't want to have to be in a back against the wall situation. And Mitch is right, going back to Comerica down 0-2. I don't think that their fans have been rowdy. I don't think they're any more rowdy than the Cleveland fans, especially in the playoffs. I've seen it with my own eyes, what we do over at Progressive Field.
Yeah, listen, guys, he's good. This isn't, and I give him credit.
Yeah, it's the playoffs. We're down to 8 teams are left. And
I give him credit. I'm not talking about AJ Hinch. I'm sorry. I'm talking about Tarek Skubal. Skubal's good. I've been more afraid of other pitchers. I'd have a worse feeling about Nestor Cortes.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of him. I don't want to have to deal with it. I'd like to put myself in the best situation possible.
I agree with you, but
it's the guy who's probably going to win the Cy Young Award this year.
All right, but if it's still 1-1 after the first two games,
if it's still 1-1, that means you must win the first one.
I think it's a got it. Well, fine. 216-474-0092. Is it a must win? I actually don't. Now I don't. Not a fight, because now I'm angry. I don't think it's a must win. I'm so afraid. Tarek Skubal's good. Everybody's afraid of him all of a sudden?
I don't think anybody said they're afraid of him. He's going to win the Cy Young, though.
I get that, but you just said you didn't want to deal with him. And I don't, you got to deal with him at some point.
I don't want to deal with him down a game already.
Well, I think
in a series that you only have to win 3 to win the series.
That's a part of it.
It'd be different if it was a best-of-7 series.
Up until the final 2 weeks of the season, you know, our lineup had languished. We were really, really struggling. You know, you weren't getting anything at the top of the order from Kwan. Even Jose had start to have some struggles. So it's like, how are we going to find enough runs? How are we going to piece this together? Now, we got our act into gear at the end, but when that lead had gone from 9 games to nothing, we were really worried about our lineup. And if they get flummoxed in game one, and then you're going up against Skubal, I'll be scared of Skubal at that point with our lineup.
216-474-0092. I just know how I'm going to react. Before I get to the phones here, I just know how I'm going to react. I'm not going to say that the series is over if they lose tomorrow and they go in on Monday. No, I'm not going to do that. Now, depending on what the Browns do, there might be a little bit of a, thank God, we don't have to spend the whole time talking about a loss, but goodness gracious. But I will tell you, on the other side, because I try to think positive first, but let me think about this. If they lose, will I be saying the series is over? No, absolutely not. If they win, will I say the series is over? Well, I can't, because they'd have Tarek Skubal going in game two. So that's fair, but I would be feeling a lot better. I would be feeling a lot better.
Maybe this is a personal thing. I'm going to the game on Monday.
All right.
If they lose Saturday's game, I'm going to be on pins and needles the whole day Monday going into that game, knowing this could be the last time I see my team play this year. If they win on Saturday, look out over on Prospect and East 4th and all that about
who win on Monday.
If they win on Saturday, Monday around noon, Owen's going to be having a good time. I don't know if I'm having a good time pregame on Monday if they lose on Saturday.
you're going to be more pensive on Monday. Yeah. All right, I can understand. Boy, you guys are talking me into it being a must win.
That was
really
easy.
Because it's the first game of a series. It's a series. And it's like, man, if we're doing everything we can to avoid Tarik Skubal, like, have you gotten to him before this year?
Well, what was it? One time? You only matched up against him one time in all those games?
Yeah, they got 10 July hits 20, off of him. We just scored one run.
Yeah, July 22nd, you got 10 hits in 7 innings, and you only got one. That was at least earned. At least you got that. Like, you did hit him around. You just couldn't get anybody in. All right, Nelson and Avon Lake. Go ahead. Go quickly, Nelson. Go ahead.
Must win. Short series. You don't want to face that dude twice, being down a game, and you don't have anybody that can really match up, right, that can hold him. Like that guy more than likely would do to our lineup. So, I guess.
All right, fine, Nelson. Thank you very much for the call. He says it's a must win.
I think some of it is just about, it's kind of a window into the confidence in your lineup. Like, I think it is the weakness. I think we all understand that, especially against playoff pitching, you're a little nervous. Now, Detroit, you know, again, whether it's the bullpen or whatever, Detroit has not been some dynamo throughout the year on paper.
They're not our bullpen, but at the same time, they've pieced it together for being the hottest team the last month and a half of the season, or last month of the season.
Well, you really haven't matched up either way with
The thing is, we haven't seen Detroit since, what, July?
Mm-hmm.
All right, 216-474-0092. The last time you pitched against Detroit, they were on the road. You won. He went 6 innings. Tanner Bibee went 6 innings. He gave up 2 runs, both earned. And then he pitched against him a week earlier at home. We also won that game. He went 5 innings, gave up 2 hits. He's been pretty good against Detroit himself. With those stats, it kind of does make game one a must win. 216-474-0092. I think you guys might have talked me into it. All right. A lot of opinions coming in.
I think if you talk about a playoff game long enough, it becomes a must win. The longer you start mulling over the permutations and everything, Kenny, I think that's what happened. I think you were trying to talk reason in everybody. And by the end of the segment, it's like, we got to win this game. It's a big playoff game. Let's go. It's how the playoffs work. Let's get off to a great start.
Yeah. We ready?
We're ready.
Good. We got Curtis Danberg in here. He is the Senior Vice President, Communication and Community Impact. Well, that's a long title, and I have to remember it every single time. But we do have a lot of reaction about the game coming up tomorrow, 1 o'clock, as Tanner Bibee's going to go. When do the Tigers have to make their declaration of who they're going to start? Are we getting time?
I think the roster has to be set early this afternoon. So we should know it. Looks like we'll get Skubal on game two. So going back to what you were saying, I think really important to set the tone and win game one.
All right. I always, every year that we get into the playoffs, I either have a gut feeling in a good way or a bad way. In 2016, we got all the bad news about the starting pitching, and I'm like, well, we're doomed. Like, we got no shot. So I was wrong. My gut feeling was wrong. 2017, I thought we were going to win the World Series. We were doing pep rallies leading into that, and we were so excited. And then, unfortunately, we know the rest is history. Do you have a gut feeling, Curtis? Has your gut feeling served you well over time?
I don't know if it served me well or not, but I guess I'm cautiously optimistic. It's been such a unique year. It's been kind of a fairy tale, as we've talked about, starting with the eclipse and just the way it's played out with the first-year manager and Steven Vogt. So, I'm hopeful. I mean, nobody could have had on their bingo card that there'd be 3 AL Central teams left in the four. There's not a team that's been like over 100 wins that is a sure bet. So why not us?
So the one thing, I don't know if it's an X factor, the one variable that we just don't know about is, how is this layoff? How is the team dealing with the layoff? And, you know, there have been times with Tito, there was a bit of a layoff and simulation games, and you know, that's obviously not the real thing, but these guys are hungry in the clubhouse watching all these other playoff games. How do you deal with something like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's real. I mean, baseball is a game of day in and day out, and then you have like a week off. So we've been doing simulated games, trying to emulate what it would be like to be playing. And we've got crowd noise, and they've been playing and still not having a packed house. But
we've had crowd noise.
We've had crowd noise.
You've pumped in the crowd
noise.
Do you do like the Florida State war chant or something? Like, what do you guys do?
Just crowd noise. It's like white noise, what I used to go to sleep.
That'd be even more. I can't listen to the white noise.
I'm a big fan.
Is there a person designated to go to the drink rails and stomp on the metal floor? Because I know when I'm out there,
you hear that though in the ambient crowd noise.
In the ambient crowd noise, are there people going woo woo late in the game? Because that's always the crowd pleaser for me. We've had whole segments on that.
It's not a crowd pleaser for me.
Oh, I love it. I'm sorry. I know you guys all hate it.
It's the wrestling in you.
It's my. It's the wrestling. I go, I hope that never goes away. And people are like, I hate you for saying that. I go, I love it. I gotta get you on record though about something else. It has nothing to do with game one. Obviously, you know where I'm going. Terry Francona.
Yeah.
The Reds. Were you surprised? What are you thinking there, eh, bud?
I guess not surprised in the sense that Tito had his health issues. He moved on, but at the same time, he kind of teased out there even last year that, hey, I might come back. And he's a guy, it's in his blood. He's a baseball lifer sitting at home. He just can't sit at home. And the opportunity picked up. The Reds were in town towards the end of the season. They said, hey, we're going to go after Tito. And I was like, oh, that might be a pretty nice fit. So rest assured, it's probably looking that way. He's going to be the Reds manager. And the Ohio Cup's going to a whole different level.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yes. Are you guys actually going to have the celebration now? Come on, do the celebration.
We had the celebration
you did. I was
fake
so thankful.
We got you. Almost.
I was thankful I didn't go ranting and raving. I told, he's on another radio station. I can't say his name, but I think we all know who I'm talking about. The guy who reports from the dugout. And I said, I was just thankful because he said something. He goes, oh, I was talking about somebody else at another station. Not you. I go, I was just thankful I didn't go ranting and raving.
We had a little because fun with that.
We had Cookie Pie here, and he's like, they celebrated getting the first round bye? They really did that? So I'm like, are they, like, he was upset. And I go, if I had that idea in me and I was going to yell and rant and rave about fake pictures.
And it turns out it never happened.
On social media.
Yeah.
Lord almighty.
And it's fun. Next year, the new schedule has us, our prime rival, which is the Reds, goes from 4 games to 6 games. We have 2 3-game series. So Ohio Cup is being elevated.
Is it still, does that mean weekends?
Not next year, but hopefully at some point we get back to the weekends.
Okay.
It would take it to another level. There's no doubt. And this year was a weird scheduling quirk that it's at the end of the season.
Right.
Could you be playing for something this year? We know the way it worked out. I told Ken on the way in today, I'm thinking the lights are up at Progressive Field. Postseason baseball, there is an amazing connotation, or immediately my memory goes back to Tony Pena, right? And an amazing, miraculous October moments that I still get chills, like literally as I'm talking about them, because you can't see it ahead of time. I mean, you never know. Lonnie Chisenhall has an amazing playoff moment off David Price. Like this
Oscar
stuff.
Gonzalez.
Oscar Gonzalez,
ago.
Right. Rajay Davis.
You never know who's going
to
be the hero.
You just never know, which prompted me to want to power rank them. And Curtis, who better to power rank? Top three amazing playoff moments, Curtis.
Wow.
We have music for it. Just what comes to you, because we've had so many in that stadium.
Rajay Davis is homer, game
number
seven.
Number one.
Jim Thome's World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Homer off the Braves when he had the bat flip before bat flips were in vogue.
Before they were chic.
In 95. And probably Pena. I mean, that set the tone.
From
we hadn't won for so many years in that division series, the rain delay, what was it like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, Paney hits that homer. I'll add one other one. And
A fourth,
2016, when LeBron James came out on the game two against the Red Sox. I remember the Red Sox talking about, they brought out LeBron. This year, game two, we're bringing out D. Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's going to yell play ball.
And he's been watching.
For game two.
Watching the playoffs.
So far. Big fan. So hopefully we bring LeBron game two of the division series in 16. And we're bringing D. Mitch game two of the division series here in 2024.
Now, what does he do if you guys play the Mets in the World Series?
I thought about it. Okay, good problem to have.
Good
That's what we call that.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
That is a good problem to have.
We're not losing a Frankie.
Come on. All right. Anything else for him there, Tom?
No, I just can't wait, because this is such a different season. People know in this town how amazing the heroes that get created this time of year. And that's why I was asking about a gut feeling, because I have no idea what to think about this team. We've been talking about how wide open the American League
that's
has been the entire time. Yeah. So why not us?
Why not us? Rock your red. Gates open 2 hours prior. 108 Saturday, 408 on Anthony's rocking his
I'm
red.
I'm rocking it. Come on, Kenny.
You're not in the cat.
Got the rally towel.
Got to rock it.
Let's go.
I don't know how to do it the right way. There we go. Thank you.
And Travis Fryman. Travis Fryman.
Yeah, we reached out to him kind of, you know, in honor of our player development system and his role in the player development. But we asked him before we end up playing the Tigers. So his history with the Tigers, it lines up well. Josh Tomlin, game two, throwing out the first pitch. And we have D'Angelo Graham singing the anthem. Somebody by the name of Daniel Danberg singing on Monday. Go Guards is right.
She does a very good job doing it.
Thank you.
You should be very proud.
I am very proud of
her. Yeah, I know you
are. Her biggest fan.
Curtis Danberg, Guardians Vice President of Communications and Community Impact, joining us in studio in the Smart Choice Windows and More studio. Curtis, thank you very much for your time, friend.
Thank you.
Curtis Danberg, joining us in the Smart Choice Windows and More studios. 216-474-0092. All right, back to the must-win thing. You've convinced me here over the last 15 minutes, both of you, really all three. I'll give Mitch some credit, too. That it does feel in that sense. Some people said, well, you know, because I've looked at Tarik Skubal, and I'm thinking, you know, he's a good pitcher. I don't take any disrespect out of him. I do think that you could hit him. You've hit him before. It wasn't like you won the games and just killed him out there. He's a good pitcher. I mean, he's a Cy Young leader and probably will win the Cy Young this year. However, if you were to face him in a game two, I would still be confident in a game two because we're still, if you're a game one, I just got to get them out of their heat. So if I get the win in game one, then it's like, all right, I cooled them off a little bit. Can Tarik Skubal put the heat back in, or can I get him in game two and then put a lot of pressure on them for game three when they head back up? Like, that's one of the things that I think we have to consider here. So yeah, in a lot of ways, I guess you guys are right. I guess it does make it a must-win. There's several people who are saying it's not a must-win. Several people. And I wanted to say it wasn't a must-win to begin with. I don't think I can. I think that this is a must-win here. And I think that that's what the Guardians have to do. 216-474-0092. We did ask him about Terry Francona being the manager of the Guardians. We opened it up with it. There were a few people who were really upset at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
That he became the manager of the Reds. Officially, where do you stand on it?
I'm happy for him. Like, he's been, you know, intertwined with professional baseball in his city for a decade. It was amazing that we even got him to begin with. I couldn't believe it the day he brought in. Then, obviously, the 2016 run was so magical. It's just so unfortunate they were up 3-1 and couldn't hold on, or he'd have a World Series here, even further cementing his status as one of the great managers of the last 50 years. And, you know, at the end, it seemed like it was time, right? It seemed like it was time to go. And even at the time, I know health absolutely was a factor because he wasn't able to manage, you know, the full seasons there at the end. But at the same time, you know, Kenny, we had talked about it. It's time to find the next manager. It's time to find that individual. And I don't know. I don't know whether there was a rift at the end. Maybe they didn't see things the exact same way. But I remember we had Tim Kirkchian on last April. And it did not shock me when that news came down the other day because Tim was right here on our radio station talking about the future of Terry Francona.
American League manager told me a year ago, Tito is going to get healthy. He's going to get in better shape to manage, meaning he's going to get of as many health problems as he can, and then he'll be back in a year and a half. That's what he told me. Now, do I think that's going to happen? My guess at the moment is no. My guess is he's not going to manage again. But is there a chance? Absolutely.
I thought there was always a chance that he'd manage again. With the age of a lot of managers, guys who come back, they tend to calm down franchises. They tend to be a steady ship for franchises, guys who have been in it before, guys who have won World Series before. And we've seen a couple of the older guys catch fire, and like Jack McKeon ended up winning a World Series and some of those other guys. Like, you've seen him kind of be able to do it. Now, I feel good for him now. I have to say, if they went out and they won a World Series before the Guardians did again, I'd probably change my mind. I'd have to feel very jealous. But depending on where the Guardians are at,
it's gonna be weird to see him in another team's uniform. Obviously,
yeah. If we're still a postseason team, then it's like, okay, them's the breaks. If all of a sudden the wheels come off this thing and we're terrible and they become a powerhouse in the National League, like, yeah, I'm gonna feel a little bit different about it. I'm probably gonna be jealous, and I'm probably going to look at the Guardians' direction. But with Francona, I don't think it's going to go that way. I don't think they're going to be a miserable disaster. They're going to be good. They will be professional. They should be taken care of. I'm glad it ended somewhat amicably. I know that it was like, well, you know, maybe it's time for all parties to part. Okay, fine. I do believe that the Guardians would not be here had he still been the manager. And it's not about whether or not he was making the right calls or the wrong calls. I think that this year kind of exposed some of the things that we were kind of behind the times on. The bunting, the station-to-station stuff, approaches at the plate. They were so much more, and sometimes to our detriment, as we found out in August, they were so much more aggressive at the plate than what they've been over the last several years because they didn't have Terry Francona anymore, kind of putting the brakes on him in that case. And he did what he could to put this team in a winning position, and he did for a long period of time. It wasn't because of those decisions I didn't think that they'd be a postseason baseball team. It's for the simple fact he wasn't healthy. So as long as he was going to be the manager of the Guardians, he wasn't going to have the chance to go out and get healthy again. Now that he's had some time to not be in the air, be traveling, having to live out of the suitcase and do all the things and be home for a few days at a time, now that he's kind of had a chance to like sit down and relax and then get to work on his body and his health, then things could be a little bit different for him. But because he was a part-time manager is a cheap shot, but a guy who had to take time off because of health problems, no, I did not think that they would be back in the postseason at all. I don't think that we would have this type of play out of some of the players that we've had. Todd Derry's fantasy football team name?
That's Matt.
Or Matt Derry's fantasy football team name. Like, I think there's guys there that have blossomed and got the chance to blossom because Tito isn't there.
And that's why I don't understand why anybody could be mad this morning at Tito or the situation at all. Like, you should be
feeling mad at the Guardians.
You should be feeling really, really good about the start of postseason baseball tomorrow and how this city is going to get behind a baseball team. That's the stuff you should be thinking about.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at the Guardians. I guess I'm happy for him, even though I don't really know him that well whatsoever. Only met him a couple times. I think he's a fine manager. Clearly, he's one of the best that's ever been a professional manager of any sort, head coach in this city. And I think what we're seeing here is he left the team in a good situation. It was time to make that change. And right now, I got a team that's in the postseason, and Stephen Vogt looks like he's going to be manager of the year when this is all said and done. So we're in a really good place right now.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML.
Fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Well, Kenny, we've both got very busy weekends going on. So sometimes you get excited about those weekends and things you have, but then you realize you might have to miss other things. Well, I've got Bowling Green Akron. That is Saturday. And it's a 3:30 start time, which means I'm going to be a little conflicted and a little distracted at the beginning of my broadcast. Because
now, why is that?
Because the Guardians are going to be playing, it's going to be the end of their game. That's happened a few years ago. This happened when I was down in Athens for an OU game.
Looks like you're going to have to quit that play-by-play job.
And at the same time, or the Guardians are going to have to quit playing baseball.
Mm.
Or at that exact same time, the Guardians were in that marathon game against the Rays where nobody could score. And I was totally distracted, and it definitely impacted the broadcast negatively because I was paying attention to the Indians at the time.
So this has turned into not only a must-win, but a must-win quickly.
Quick. So they could just get this game going it going fast.
You weren't paying attention whatsoever?
No pageantry. I don't want any first pitches. Sorry, Travis. Get your game in and get your game out.
Let's go. You need Bybee to go 103 pitches in eight innings. Yeah. Let's bring Class A out.
And let's really enforce
Jose gets a homer in the fourth.
Yes. Yeah. Let's really enforce the pitch clock here. Let's make sure we're on the up and up with the pitch clock.
Would anybody... Okay.
No pickoff moves. Don't take this...
I can't make this joke. Because you couldn't comment on it anyway.
Well, let me make the joke to Owen.
Let me make the joke to Owen.
Perfect.
Hey, who you play? It's Bowling Green, right?
Bowling Green and the number one tight end in the country.
You can set the rest of this out. Hey, Owen, do you think that if he just did drop-ins of the Guardians, anybody would notice during the broadcast?
I think...
Turn his mic off. Make sure he don't get in trouble for none.
I think that over 20 families in Northeast Ohio would know what's going on in the Guardians game, and that's about it.
Do you think if he just watched the Guardians game
and let... I think there are players playing in this game tomorrow who grew up in Northeast Ohio and Northwest Ohio who are... whose dads are giant Guardians fans.
That's right.
Who will be paying more attention to the Guardians game than they will be to the
their kids.
But one of the Bowling Green game.
One of the major criticisms, though, is that we don't recruit Ohio well enough down at Akron. Whether that's true or not, that's one of the criticisms.
That sounds like a Ken Carman, Joe Moorhead problem.
It's not my problem with Joe Moorhead. It's been said for years.
BG's best player is from Kent McKinley.
They got Ty. Hey, whoa. You weren't supposed to contribute during this. Yeah. Do you think that he could say any of those things? Do you think that would be fine? Do you think if he just let Randy Buffington take over for play-by-play for a spell?
Of course, you've got to do that. You've got to let Randy Buffington get in there once and just let us know what's going on.
Randy Buffington.
Third and eight.
Yeah, I got to give the other lead role first.
Oh, sorry.
3, 2, 1. Randy Buffington. Sarah J.
Always Sarah J.
Third and eight.
Sorry, I couldn't contain my laughter.
Couldn't contain something else.
It's always going to be the queen first. And then we go down the line when people call in about Randy Buffington.
Soft cover.
Randy Buffington. Penny Barber. Hard shell cover.
2 minute timeout.
Tampa 2.
Randy, but no, I'm done. If they just did that for 40 minutes, do you think anybody would notice?
No.
If they just played me giving Randy Buffington.
Absolutely not.
Actress
names. I think you will be fine, Anthony, to have your. Now, your biggest problem is how are you going to watch it?
Yeah,
are there TVs?
No, so I will have my tablet for stats.
The vaunted tablet.
And replays. Stats and replays. But I could also just go ahead and watch the baseball game on the tablet.
Now, would it help if we sent over to... This game is on TBS, I believe. And Max, I believe it's streaming as well. Could we send over to the guys doing the baseball game? Could they just pop the Akron Bowling Green
just
stats
put it,
up,
yeah, a little bug or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think you could.
And then you'll know the stats.
So even though the game's going on in front of me, I am instead watching the baseball game and then keeping people updated with a little bug.
I think that's the right thing to do. Yes, indeed.
It's annoying, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Probably your job.
Now, what's your Saturday situation? You going to be okay?
We got youth football.
So how are you guys going to deal with that?
We'll figure it out. I don't know how I'm going to figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
So this is where we actually want night games in the future on the weekends. We wanted the day games during the week.
Give me 7 p.m. on weekends and 1 p.m. on weekdays.
I would say more, but I'm going to get in trouble with the townspeople, so I don't want to get in trouble
with
the
townspeople. Could they have moved the game? Was there any pressure to move?
No, 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 no. There's no pressure to move the game. I just... No, I can't say it. If things were supposed to be the way they were, I would have no problem being able to watch the game.
Uh-oh.
Zero problem
whatsoever.
There's
something going on behind...
No, there's nothing going on.
Behind the scenes?
Actually, everything's perfectly fine. It's who came before us. That leaves a bit of an issue for me. That's all.
Meanwhile, no Bob Costas this time around, huh?
No
Brian
Bob Costas
Anderson.
And no Bob Uecker. And Lima, hopefully they win the World Series because... I hope you never have to sound like this. This is Bob Uecker last night after the Brewers lost to the New York Mets and ended their postseason run.
Well, New York down, they did it, and the crew will have it end here tonight.
Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
I actually felt bad hearing that.
God.
Especially because Bob Uecker was starting to get some of that kind of end of the road fanfare and press, like, this is it, this is going to be the run. And then people start to think, well, if it's Bob Uecker's last run, they got to go to the World Series. And we try to come up with these fun stories, these amazing,
and how great would it have been if it was Guardians. I know it's not the Indians, but the major league tie-in and all that. And
right, when it doesn't end the right way. You know,
if we win the World Series, can we bring Bob down? If we win, I'm not kidding you. If come on, he, Major League.
Boy,
he's Harry Doyle.
I didn't even think of that.
Bring him in. Curtis just walked through here. He
just
might still
have
be listening.
Dynamite drop-ins at
someone,
least. Right?
Someone with text Curtis. I swear to God. Hopefully we win the World Series. If we win the World Series, and I know, like, oh, Yankees are favorite, or the Dodgers are. If we win the World Series, bring him down.
Could we
please,
adopt
God.
Him? Could
that
he
was
adopt
so sad.
Us?
That's fine. That's fine. Whatever you want to do.
Well,
I just want to bring him down because that was one of the saddest things I ever heard. I actually regret playing it now.
I know two guys in Cleveland who have a platform that could maybe make this so.
I will do that. I will. If they win the World Series, I will drive up there and drive him down.
The only way you're going to Milwaukee is to immediately
is
put
to,
Bob Uecker in the truck and drive back.
That's the only way anybody's getting
for
to
three
me
times
Milwaukee.
The salary.
And
too.
I'll pay. No, I'll pay for the gas. So it's costing me money to bring him down. Holy cow! Was
but
that sad.
Yeah, that was tough to hear. That was really tough to hear because. He's somebody that I think, does anybody have a bad thing to say about Bob Uecker?
No,
I mean, maybe
respected.
Maybe Cubs fans when they used to be in the same.
There's nothing. Marty Brenneman used to take shots at other fan bases. I don't remember if Bob Uecker ever took shots. And I love Marty Brenneman, but I don't remember Bob Uecker taking shots at other fan base.